This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Welcome back into The Drive. A Texans Ticket Tuesday coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. You got a chance to... this is him, Jimi Hendrix, right?
Nailed it.
There we go. A watchtower there. Check it in. 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen. Coming up on Sunday, big game against the Broncos. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. So make sure you're listening. I do want to get to this news with the Texans, but there are not often times that I am caught off guard or surprised by text line, YouTube, and Twitch. But the amount of people who are just not into tonight at all or Ohtani is just really, really interesting to me. I'm with Tyler. The Astros ain't playing. I don't care to watch. I'm with Tyler. Not watching. Literally just found out. These are three in a row. Literally just found out last night's game went into extra innings. I'm with Tyler on this.
It's a good place to be.
Ocho, Ron, the main reason I watched the World Series was because I wanted George Springer to stick it to the Dodgers, but since he's out, I'm out. I don't believe you. I think Ocho's going to watch. The game was tremendous as a neutral and just a baseball/greatness watcher. And that's where I am. Like, I mean, this is literally something we have never seen before in the sport. At least I haven't. I mean, I wasn't around when Babe Ruth was going. Sister Jean has passed away, so she was the last one. But, like, that's the part to me. It's just, I don't know how. I mean, two things I was captivated on this weekend. Shohei Ohtani and the Cash Money and No Limit versus. I mean, those two things had me in the same boat of I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And, man, I don't know, boy. That is a bit surprising to me that people just aren't into seeing something we've never – just sports fans. And I know many of you are sports fans that listen – that aren't into that. It's just,
well, I think we got two things going here. The lack of interest, which I fall closer to Tyler than you for, that's for damn sure. I will tune in for Ohtani. I don't really have much interest in the other. But like the last night's game, I mean, there was a lot of competition, man. I mean, I was sitting in Twin Peaks and you got Rockets. I mean, you got Monday Night Football. I mean, there's a lot of competition, and most people, I mean, I'd argue you need to go to bed. You need to get you some sleep. I think you got to have, you're going to watch whatever's on late.
You're going to miss that.
You're going to be up till 1 o'clock watching whatever.
Well, I'm so happy to be a baseball game. I didn't think that was supposed to go on. That game came on the same time as the football game, and it went on.
I want you in bed by 10 o'clock tonight.
No. This game, you know how long this game is. No.
It's not healthy to get 4.5
man,
hours of sleep.
I don't do it
man.
Every night. All right.
A lot.
I don't. I mean, when the NBA playoffs get going, that's really a tough. Tonight there is.
I got to peek in tonight. I'm not going to watch every
No,
pitch,
the Rockets don't play tonight. My man Tyler said, I'm out. And many people texted, I am out. I just. I'm locked and loaded. Be an interesting one. All right. There is some news for the Texans or at least for the Broncos that will affect the Texans. But how much does it? Sources say, and this is from Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports, sources say that Broncos star cornerback Patrick Surtain II is dealing with a pectoral injury and is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. No surgery is needed, but Jordan Schultz said, I am told that the reigning defensive player of the year will get a second opinion this week to confirm the timeline. So it looks like the best player for, definitely for the defense, probably overall, the best player for the Denver Broncos will not be available for them. We'll see what happens with Nico Collins and Christian Kirk, but Pat Surtain will not be there. How much does this affect the game for the Texans? I understand how good he is and what, but specifically to the offense and what the Texans want to do, how much does Surtain being out affect that?
Well, I mean, look, I think it affects it a lot. I mean, Surtain had the ability to take really anybody that's healthy for the Texans out of the game, completely out of the game in any moment. So, not that they would have done that because I don't know it would have been necessary. They just feel like their overall defensive unit, you know, has the ability to smother you. But that, I mean, that's what he brings to the table. I mean, one of, if not the best corner in football, that can do it all. That's just an absolute game changer. So, I don't know that the Texans, you know, if Nico were healthy, then all of a sudden you could say, hey, how do the Texans play keep away? Do they shadow? You know, I don't know how, you know, what it looks like if Nico doesn't play. So we'll see. But definitely advantage Texans. I mean, you take one of the best, if not the best corner out of the game, it's advantage Texans in a big way.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I think for other teams it'd be a bigger deal. The biggest thing is what are they going to do with these jokers up front, right? Like, I mean, and Surtain may not matter as much if, you know, Nick Bonito and Allen and those guys are pressuring C.J. Stroud as much as, like, if one of those dudes, if you told me Nick Bonito was out of this game, then that is, I know it may sound crazy because he's the defensive player of the year, but for the Texans and their issues, hell, I'd rather have one of those pass rushers out than Pat Surtain. Not to say you won't be able to take advantage of that, but that's the strength of Denver's defense and what the issues are for the Texans.
Well, they're not going in at the end of the day, the Broncos, it doesn't matter who's healthy or who's not, they're not going to sit back and let you complete three, four, five yard passes on them all day. I think I saw the stat earlier where C.J. Stroud had 16 completions where the ball was out in less than 2.5 seconds.
Yeah, I saw his chart. His chart was
And that was a big part of that was San Francisco was willing to let him do it, right? Was willing to let him force him to go 12 and the 12, 13, 14, 16 plays to get points, and the Texans just stayed right there in rhythm and did it and made him like it. So I don't think Denver is going to play that style of defense.
No.
They're not going to let the quarterback get rid of the ball.
Won't have that much time either. Right. Like, when they're, like, even with it that quick, like, they're probably going to, as you said, get up there and force him to see another read.
Oh yeah. That's the thing, is they're going to force him to make low percentage throws, and they're going to force him to fit it in tight windows. They're not going to give him the easy layups and free throws. They're going to make you hold it an extra tick, and they believe that their defensive front can get there if indeed you do that. And so it's I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah. So we'll see, but Surtain not expected to be able to go for the Broncos, not just coming up on Sunday, but for maybe 4 to 6 weeks. Speaking of that, and the Texans receivers, and We know Nico wasn't there, but Christian Kirk wasn't there either. And look, 713-572-4-16, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this as well. The Texans have decided to take the L on C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Right? They moved on, took the L. Took the money, ate the money, took the L. They took the L on Cam Robinson. Ate the money, took the L. Are we in a space, or maybe it's too early, but are we in a space where maybe they should take the L on this Christian Kirk? Should they contemplate, whenever he does get back, should they contemplate moving him down on the depth chart? And I'm not necessarily saying they get rid of him like they've done with the other two, but should the plan change based off what we've seen up to this point with the emergence of guys like Noel? Hutch played better as well. I mean, you look at him, man, through three games, he's got 10 catches, 109 yards, no touchdowns. Hell, I mean, some of those guys approached that in the game on Sunday. That is something that'll be interesting to see when he comes back healthy, if they should maybe just kind of move on past him and bring him down a little further on the depth chart.
Yeah, I don't think we're there yet.
I don't think we're there?
No, I think the one guy that has the ability to move that needle that you're talking about is Jalen Noel, and he's coming. You know, I think most people are convinced that he belongs. Most people are convinced that he's not just a slot receiver. He can make plays downfield. In fact, I'll say some of his more impressive work, the punt return is really impressive, but beyond that is the mid-range to deeper, the deep pass game for C.J. Stroud. I think he's coming. I think that has a chance. That conversation has legs in a couple of weeks for sure if we see Jalen Noel continue to keep developing and keep becoming a bigger part of this offense, keep being a guy that C.J. can depend on. I think that conversation. I don't think it's gonna be crazy to have that conversation in 2 weeks. I think it's a little bit of a reach right now, but I think it's becoming more and more real.
I just don't think we've seen enough from Kirk to make that determination.
Well, I mean, Christian Kirk just brings, you know, that when he's healthy, and again, assuming that was a hamstring issue that was slowing him down a little bit this year, Ron, that wasn't Father Time jumping on his back, and he's just not the guy, not even remotely close to the guy that he once was, and you can see Father Time on his back. Assuming he's a little closer to the Christian Kirk that we saw in Jacksonville, I don't know that Noel's there yet. He's coming. I like him. I've got confidence that he'll be there sooner rather than later. I just wouldn't be ready to make that kind of decision at this point in time. Now, the question is, can you play and beat Denver? And in that process, does Noel take another step and continue to prove, hey, man, I'm a dude. Get me to rock. You know, does he get to a point where he's playing enough and he's contributing enough and C.J. Stroud is confident enough in him to where, as a coaching staff, you look at it like, hey, man, I mean, we love Christian Kirk and he's a good player. May even be a rung above Jalen Noel. But do we want to disrupt the momentum that these guys got going right
now?
That's
the thing,
man. That's what's going to creep into the conversation.
Just nothing about watching Noel and Higgins, too. But especially Noel, nothing about watching him feels like, hey, he should see less action.
Oh, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like we should back it off. Or, all right, Christian Kirk has returned and now he takes, you know, a seat back in his reps.
Right now you're just.
And maybe I'm jumping the gun.
I think it's a great. I mean, hell, look, Ron. I mean, everybody in Houston is going to be bringing up that conversation in 2 weeks. I mean, it's a good thought right now of like, hey man, or is this a potential? I think right now, if Christian Kirk came back, it's one of those like, damn, sorry, Noel, we got to put the guy that gives us the best chance to win.
There.
Yeah, we got to put the veteran in there. And really, you look at it, you're like, hey man, there's just a young dude that was playing some good ball, pretty promising, that you're going to limit his reps. I mean, shoot, man, 2 weeks from now, if he's still showing this kind of promise with C.J. Stroud. Forget that, man. Now you're putting a lesser player on the field. You know, right now it's just, hey, man, young dude's going to get his reps cut. In 2 weeks, it's going to be hell. I mean, that's the best thing you got outside of Nico Collins, and you're going to stunt that growth.
Well, yeah. he's just winning so quickly and so often.
Yeah.
In the last couple of weeks,
great in the screen. I think where
they don't use that enough.
We don't. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the creative run game, run scheme, the screen game. I think you got to lean into him more in those situations. I think he can do – his run after catch has a chance to be as good as anybody not named Nico Collins on his team. You know what I mean? Not to mention Woody Marks has that ability too. But I mean, his run after catch, in a sense of just get the ball in his hands, and he has a knack for getting the corner. He has a knack for making a guy's miss and always falling forward. So getting him touches, you know, in scheme quickly is going to be key.
YouTube and Twitch, Space Age, yes, Ron, yes. Take the L on Kirk. We have better receivers on the practice squad. That's pretty aggressive. I know Jarrett Wayne caught two balls. Let's not let it get away from
us. I'm a big Wayne guy. I'm a big Wayne fan.
Frank Z, Kirk is too slow and too hurt all the time. Would love to see more Noel and Berrios this weekend. To me, you brought up Woody, and that's what it feels like to me. It's like I don't think Nick Chubb should, you know, be done and not be a part of the rotation. But you look at it, and it's like, okay. Again, also knowing this is an offense that is struggling to have playmakers. Yeah. And when you see that, I don't think Christian Kirk should be done because it may be an injury thing, and I think he's a veteran that can roll, but
his role should diminish a bit.
Maybe they should switch, and it seems like for the most part, that's what's happened with Woody Marks and Nick Chubb. They haven't just pushed Nick Chubb completely to the side. He still serves his purpose, and I think Christian Kirk could too. But right now, man, we just talked about it. Those routes, those little quick routes, a lot of them work because guys like him was winning so early and so quickly, and then he gets down the field and wins. He had the big over the top play that they had, and he's had that two weeks in a row. He did it against Seattle to set up a goal-to-goal position. He did it again on Sunday against the 49ers. It feels odd to think, all right, that Nico and Christian Kirk return, and it drops his snaps.
I think. Look, we don't have a play caller at this point that has shown the interest. I'm not going to say the ability because we don't know. He has not shown the interest in building a package around a certain player. So when you take that off the table and Noel is just going to be one of nine guys that try to catch a pass in a game, then I think it lends itself to, hey, man, we're going to play Christian Kirk. We're going to play Nico Collins. But to your point, Ron, I think it's great foresight. Like, I think we're at a spot where
maybe in a couple weeks, maybe a little bit here.
If this Jalen Noel train keeps gaining steam, it's going to be hard. It's going to be real hard to limit touches.
Yeah. All right, coming up, a little real or fake. I say a statement, you let me know if it's real or fake.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Welcome back in. Someone text in. I fantasize the day I see Nico, Noel, Higgins, and Dale all on the field together.
That is sexy, ain't it?
That's I fantasize about the day I see Joy Taylor in some scantily clad outfit.
What are you doing? Are you like stalking her on social media or something? Now that she's on
TV? She works. Any stalking going on?
I mean, you got to really work. You got to work a little harder to get your content. You know?
No, I don't work hard at it. That's my point. I'm fantasizing.
Oh, fair.
I don't know. You got to fantasize that. I mean, she.
I'm sure it's out there.
It is.
She works out. She does their gym exercise. Yeah, maybe get what you're looking for.
So you're catching it, huh?
I mean, I see it come up. The way he described, I was going to say, there's not a...
Get you a good sweat, Joy.
It ain't hard to find.
It really... No, it isn't. It isn't. That's why...
Them workout videos,
And again, I don't even know why we're doing this. To think that Tyler's having a hard time finding it.
Oh, he's not. It's
of course not.
Having a hard time with something.
What's that? Right there, see that? That was that D'Amico right there.
Yeah.
Didn't think nobody was going to come back, did you?
Does it all the time, says it all the time, then somebody brings it back up. You want to laugh and turn your head to the
What's
mic,
that?
Huh?
You guys good?
What's that? Yeah. No, I'm good. Are you good?
You guys good?
Yeah, we are. You good, Tyler?
That was really, really well done on your part. Professional move.
What is it? Go ahead. Answer. We got time. All right. It is Tuesday. Let's do a little real or fake. I say a statement. You let me know if it's real or fake. You can participate. Text line 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch. I'll start with you, Tyler. The leash is way too short for college football coaches right now. The leash is way too short for college football coaches right now.
Oh, I'm going to say fake on that one. Mainly because at the end of the day, most of these guys who would have said short leash still end up with a hell of a buyout, and I don't feel bad for them. So I'm going to say fake there.
Okay. Don't feel bad. Yeah, they're getting a good payment. Clint, the leash is way too short for college football coaches right now. Real or fake?
I like the spirit of the question, but I'm going to say fake. I think, you know, by year three, if you're one of the guys that we're asking this question because there's some big name guys that are getting
by
snipped.
Year three, huh?
Yeah, if you're not by year three, if you're not showing a much improved product and something that we can really, really bank on and lean into, and there's no doubt about it that the product is better and moving in the right direction and improving. Yeah, then I mean, what are we doing? I mean, you're paying these guys $10-11 million a year. And if within 3 years you can't get this thing moving in the right direction, especially the guys that appear to have all the advantages in NIL and the transfer portal, they're at destination schools that have competed for national championships. Yeah, if by year three you're not showing some legit improvement, if we're still flirting with 5 and 6 wins by year three, yeah, your ass got to go.
Oh man, I'm gonna say. I'm going to say real. 3 years, man, that is it's hard to build something, right? Because to me, it's at any point. At any point, if you have a rough stretch or a under the expectation stretch, no matter how it started, like James Franklin, if you just say it out loud, I understand there's some scenarios, but James Franklin won 2 playoff games last year and had a tight game in the fourth quarter against Notre Dame to get to the college football championship game. And my man didn't make it to Halloween. Hell, he probably barely made it to October. I mean, and they have done some winning there. Obviously, they have struggled against Ohio State and Michigan. But damn, that feels a little strong, and it does. I think the year that you're talking, 3 seems to be the number now. Like they're NBA coaches now. All right, man, you get 3 years, man. And I think in some spaces for some of these organizations, it's almost harder to get some of these guys because, you know, the competition with NIL is bringing other teams to the party. Like, I know your school that you went to is really a sleeping giant because they can compete with Georgia. Financially, they can compete with any of these schools financially, and somewhere like BYU has come out of nowhere and been a huge, especially basketball, been a huge NIL spot where they've been able to get players. So I almost think it's even more difficult because there are other places that can compete with money. Like, no offense, like A&M is not, I don't think they're a blue blood, but their money is. Like, their money can compete with anything. And that, like, there wasn't always a fear for Alabama to lose players to A&M.
Ain't nobody got no money like Texas A&M.
But now they got, now that is something that can happen. So, I mean, I don't know, but 3 years is, that is, which is becoming, it feels like, well, it's hard to build something and bam, they're up out of here. Before you can even
I think it's proven to be easier to do it in the Big 12 than it has necessarily the Big 10 or the SEC.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of factors that go into it, but just generally speaking, and I'm not even talking about a certain, you know, number of wins or a certain ranking, but if we're 5 years, I mean, if we're 3 years into this thing and we're staring another 5 or 6 win season in the face, yeah, I think it's, in today's climate, if you can't turn on the transfer portal, and again, we're assuming that money's not an issue, and you can't keep guys, you can't build guys, you can't build a team, you can't develop guys, you can't replace guys, you can't be the one that goes, like, I'm going to tell you, like, Lane Kiffin goes out there and poaches, I mean, like, Arkansas, Ole Miss being right there on that state line, I mean, being neighbors, and he goes and poaches the best players at Arkansas, best 1, 2, 3 players at Arkansas, and he's doing it to other people, too. So look, if you can't do that in today's landscape, if you're not willing to, like right now, the athletic director at Arkansas is talking about, he's painting the picture as, you know, we got to decide if we want to step over into the illegal world of NIL and the illegal world of transfer portal or not, or do we want to stay on the good side of it and do it the right way? That's kind of how they're painting it, right? Well, if you're going to be the good guy and stay on the good side and do it the right way, then you can't expect your coach to go out there and win 10 games a year.
Yeah. All right, real or fake, Clint, Alfred Şengün is the Rockets' best player. Real or fake?
Fake.
You ain't ready to get there.
No, I ain't ready to get there. I appreciate it, and he's in a position where...
Another big night last night.
Yeah, I mean, look, I appreciate it, I think his style of game, like stylistically... You know, he's going to be a guy that can handle the ball as well as be down in the paint, and so I think it's going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to be a big reason why we win games. But no, I mean KD and hell, I mean yeah, I mean KD is the best player we got.
Yeah, Min Thompson maybe all around. Listen, I'm going to say this. He's got a real Indianapolis Colts feel to him.
Everything is hard, man. I mean, even I watched some yesterday, man. Everything, even on good, it's hard, man.
Really, he's got. It's just. It's starting to become convincing.
No, it looks.
That's
what I meant.
The Colts comparison of, yeah. Like, all right, damn, man, he's 21-6-6 again. All right, there. You know, there he is. You know, another night where he is. I'm with you. I think it's fake. I don't think he is. He is quite there yet, but. Like, it's going to be hard to ignore it here coming up if we continue to come out there and we see him leading the team in scoring, filling up the stat sheet.
Yeah.
He's doing those things.
Well, look, he's going to play a ton of minutes. He is a big energy, big effort guy that's going to – I mean, the stats – when he's on the floor, he's going to impact the game in so many different ways.
Yes.
And look, I say that. I'm not minimizing it. There's some extreme value in that. But, you know, there's still a – we got to go get this game right here, and there's 2 or 3 minutes left. I mean, I want the ball in one guy's hands consistently.
I hear you. They put it in his, though, against OKC.
They do, constantly.
They did. All right, coming up as we continue, we'll get to the Rockets. They got a first big dub last night, and I think the big thing of the story is similar to what the Texans was with the offensive line. That was the number one talking point coming to the season. I think last night the number one talking point showed his head again for the Rockets. And we just talked about a little college football. There are some serious openings. Will there be more? We'll discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Again, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Your chance to... win a pair of tickets front row in the bullpen for this all-important second game of this three-game homestand against the Denver Broncos, who just beat the brakes. How about last? What an awful weekend in terms of competitiveness in the NFL. If you just looked up and down and caught those scores to the games, there was one game that wasn't a double-digit spread. Jets-Bengals. Everything else was...
And it was that one.
And it was that one. Jets-Bengals, 39-38 somehow. But all the... Like, you look at the scores...
It's a 500 league, bro.
This was an ass-kicking league.
One-score league, Chief.
One score. I mean, the Chiefs...
They say both.
The Chiefs finished it off with a 28-7 victory. Another double-digit, but... I mean, we got these scores. 37-10. The Texans, I think, had the third closest game, 26-15. They won by 11. 40-9, 38-20, 32-13, 30-16, 34-10, 23-3, 44-24, 38-14, 35-25, the second closest game of the weekend in 28-7. I mean, my God, just ass kickings all weekend long in the NFL. Hopefully we have more compelling matchups next week. And again, as we said, you got a chance to win a pair of tickets front row in the bullpen to check out the Denver Broncos and the Houston Texans live at NRG. I do want to get to the Rockets, as they did get off the schneid, get their first victory, led in scoring by Şengün again. But really, seven guys in double figures. Everybody came to the party. But that LSU, Florida, Penn State, those are big, high-profile jobs of Arkansas. It's open there. But LSU, Florida, Penn State, those are all real high profile jobs that a lot of coaches are going to be thirsty for, especially that LSU one. Thirsty for. What's your sense? You think that there are others? You think there are others that are going to join this list, like other high profile jobs that we'll see open up coming up before this next season starts?
Absolutely. I think we see Florida State.
Mm.
I think there is a chance that the ones that are already available are powerful enough and big enough to steal a big one from somebody.
To open up, yeah.
I mean, I hope it doesn't happen to Tyler Zagge's, but that would be one of the examples. Think it's going to happen, by the way. Don't think it's going to happen. I think Mike Elko is a perfect fit and loves life right now where he's at and has done a hell of a job. And this is one of those deals where if you're Mike Elko, boy, you want to see this one through. This could be a long, hellacious run for them in a good way. So I don't think it's going to happen, but that's kind of what I'm talking about. I think you could have another opening, you know, because he's elite. You know, one.
Does
one
Ole Miss fit in this? Would Ole Miss?
Not to me. I mean, yeah. I don't. I think Ole Miss is a great school. I think Lane has exceeded expectations year in, year out there. I had one more. Clemson. I think there's a chance you could see.
Really?
Yeah. That there's no way that the Dabo shtick there's no way that that's not wearing on people, given that it's not working. You know what I mean? Dabo's one of those guys that the whole, if Clemson wants to move away from me, you know, I can just go win somewhere else, whatever the hell he said. You know, it's one thing to struggle. It's one thing to go through a rough patch. It's one thing to stick to your guns, and I'm going to do it the old traditional way, and we're not going to really embrace the NIL and the transfer portal. And if that even works, like, that's just not the case at Clemson. I mean, it is.
You think burning. One of these big schools would try to get Dabo?
Yeah, I think he's still regarded well enough to where I think that one of them could potentially go after him. Yeah,
that'd be a home run.
It'll
be interesting to see what as you were saying the potential domino effect, right? Could happen because
I think there's several of them already reportedly going to go after old boy at Notre Dame, so that one could come open if he does decide to jump. I have not been following Michigan, but I know they're not having a great year. I wonder how what kind of legs that had from the get go anyway, because that was a Harbaugh holdover. I wonder how. You know, they look at that, and I'm seriously just thinking out loud. I don't know more. I don't know him personally, but I'm wondering: does Michigan look at him as a guy that, hey, we tried to hold this post Harbaugh thing together. It's not really working out, so let's go get a bigger name and a bigger face. So I think Michigan could potentially be one. That
somebody
could make
texted
a move.
And said, you better look at Texas.
Well, the reports of him going to the league is the only chance that I think. Obviously, I don't think he's a guy that I don't think he gets James Franklin at Texas right now. Not yet.
No.
But he may bounce to the league. The reports are that he opened up his options, letting NFL teams know, the Titans, I think, in particular, that he would be interested. I don't know how real that is, but I could very, very well see it. I mean, look, if you're a college coach right now, I mean, there's definitely more security in the league. I mean, at least you can pay your players and keep your players.
Yeah, they got you on a 2-3 year run. If you don't start making moves 2-3 years.
But I mean, players, Ron. I mean, players. Yeah. I mean, they're in the middle. I mean, they just had a huge win to save any hope that they have this year, and they got a running back and a kicker going to the transfer portal. I mean, and look, I don't think either one of those guys were obviously playing and guys that they can't win without, but that's just the world we live in. We year in, year out, you got to re-recruit guys, and I'm talking about re-recruit all of your guys to keep them from leaving and going to the – I mean, they can come down the street to A&M if they wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, that is – that. So, I mean, you go to the league, at least you got contracts that are keeping guys in place for a handful of years. At least you know what you're working with. You don't have that in college right now.
Yeah.
Maybe why those guys in college are making 11, 12, 13 million a year.
It'll be interesting to see where the fired guys go, because I think Brian Kelly can work other places. I think James Franklin can work other places. Yep. It'll be
got some good coaches on the street, man.
It'd be funny to see if, because like if Lane were to go somewhere, I don't know where James is from, but like, hey, James Franklin at Ole Miss, like you could see, some of these other high profile spots open it up, because I think he's got experience in the SEC. I think he was at Vanderbilt, wasn't he? I think before
James,
he went
that's where he made his. That's where he. I mean, he did. He didn't. I don't think he did quite what Clark Lee's doing. I mean, what's his name? Is it Clark Lee?
Yeah, I think it's Clark Lee. Isn't it?
I don't think he's done quite what he's done, but he had him relevant.
Good. Yeah, he was good. He was better than Mason. Yeah,
Mason had a rough go at it there.
I used to think, man, Derek Mason, the receiver from the Ravens, took over Vanderbilt. I thought that for a long time. Till I saw him. All right, hey, Rockets get a big dub. Everybody ate last night. Seven guys in double figures, including Tari Eason. Had him a big game, 22 off the bench to lead all scorers. But to me, it's all about, I mean, we would have conversations, before the season started in the with the Texans. Just can't have too many conversations about the offensive line. That's the number one thing people have thoughts and concerns about, and it seems like the point guard issue is the number one thing with the Rockets. And it's the thing that many people think can hold them back from maybe reaching potential goals that they could hit. And last night, I think, was a good night for them. When you look at the combination of Thompson and Shepherd, they combined for 27 points, 8 rebounds, 16 assists with 2 turnovers. Right? And Reed hit 3 threes in the game. And obviously, they didn't play extended, minutes because of the score of the game. But this was a good night, and hopefully the growth continues to go in that position. Your point guard position gives you 16 assists and 2 turnovers. From those two guys, you absolutely will take that all day long. So to me, that's going to continue to be the story, and those two guys putting together a game like that is big for the Rockets.
Any indictment or any issue with Reed not getting a start last night?
No,
I know we've talked a lot about just what that looks like.
I sort of accepting it at this point right now with Udoka. There's some real, and I don't hate it. There's some real, you got to earn it, with Udoka, but or there's either that, or maybe his plan is, we need you to be a guy that's gonna be off the bench, and that is going to be your role. You're coming off the bench. We want you playing with these certain units for the most part. We want you coming off the bench.
Well, he did say that going with the other fellow, how do you say his name? Kogi?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Josh.
Going with him took a little bit of the pressure off Amen Thompson on the defensive end of the floor, which gave him a little bit of a break, I guess, is what he's referring to. So there was a method to the madness. I didn't expect that to be, if you're not going to go double bigs, if you're not going to go with that big lineup, what does it look like? I just thought at this point Reed Shepherd would definitely be in the mix, and he wasn't. So
yeah, to me that's a sign like that the plan for him is to have Reed Shepherd, at least as of right now, to come off the bench and to be a guy that he wants to consistently come off the bench and wants him to know that role. right? Which is, like, you know, cool to me if that's what his role is going to be, as long as he's getting experience and getting minutes. So the Rockets, big dub last night as they start off 0-2. A little shaky there, but they go out and destroy the Nets last night. All right, Clint, what you got coming up?
It is a tape drop Tuesday, and there was a lot of good. And, you know, look, we're not going to hit every bit of it, but we're going to look at the tape drop Tuesday and discuss what I saw that actually transitions, or could. We never know what's going to transition, but could and should transition to a better opponent, offensively and defensively. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.